Tandem Nomads, Episode 13.
I think every change brings new opportunities. And for me, my heart had been wanting to do that for a long time. I did it as a hobby before. It was very supportive. So I said, I'm going to do this now. So if I had been on my own, it would have been much, much trickier. Yeah. You know, we need a few months to really arrive in the country we are in. So I think patience, being very patient is important, and also loving care. Just take a good care of ourselves.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Emel Deregi, and I'm excited to bring to you our guest today, Flor Toboada. Flor?
Yes.
Hello. Are you ready for the ride?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Flor Toboada comes from Spain and lived the past 17 years in expatriation. She has been living in Italy, in the UK, and moved 3 years ago to the US with her husband. Her original training was in linguistics. She speaks Spanish, English, French, and Italian. For many years, she worked as a translator and interpreter. However, her true vocation started to slowly reveal itself in the early 90s when she began to get involved in flower essences, meditation, and healing. This was the beginning of Flor's step-by-step inner transformation through many trainings that led her to become today a certified practitioner in healing touch and flower essences. Flor also volunteers as a healing touch practitioner at the American Cancer Society Hope Lodge in New York City. Flor, this was a short overview of who you are and what you've been doing so far. What else can you tell us?
Wow. Thank you for that very nicely put overview. Mm-hmm. Well, what else can I tell you? That I have been in New York for 4 years now, and I'm loving it. I'm loving the city. I'm loving what I do because I finally got to do what's my passion, to do what I love. So everything is just going really well for me. So I feel very grateful and very blessed of all the good things I have in my life.
Wonderful. Can you tell us more about, for those who are not familiar with the flower essences and healing touch, can you explain us more what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So they are both complementary therapies. So what they do, flower essences are flower infusions of wild flowers, and they are used to treat emotional and mental imbalances. So they are very good for obtaining a great sense of, you know, well-being, and good for decision-making, great for transitions, you know, anything to do with any emotional imbalances. Mm-hmm. And then the healing touch is energy therapy. So it's a very light touch therapy that promotes a state of relaxation of the body and the mind, which is called the relaxation response. And then I use a series of very light touch techniques to release the stress, to release the tension, and to restore a good energy flow. So both of these techniques, what they do, they make the energy in our body flow better. So when we are energetically balanced, we feel happier, we feel content, and we feel revitalized. So that's what I do.
How interesting. And what kind of people do you help with flower essences and healing touch?
Here in the city, I have a private practice, so I help people dealing with stress mainly. So this is city stress. As you know, New York City is a very stressful place. So city stress, work stress, family stress. Lots of my clients are expats too, so dealing with change, because change, as you know, can be quite traumatic too. Mm-hmm. And also, as I do, I volunteer at the American Cancer Society. I also deal with people with illness and cancer, and I help them to deal with the side effects of the cancer treatment. Wow, so a wide variety of people.
So there are scientific proofs of the effect of touch healing and flower essences?
Yes, they are. They are more and more. In the case of Healing Touch was developed by actually by a nurse in Colorado in the 1980s, and it was the first energy program to offer certification for its practitioners, and is endorsed by the American Holistic Nurse Association, and has we just got nationwide certification too. So there is we have Healing Touch, the Healing Touch research website, with more and more scientific evidence that these things work. And Healing Touch is also used in many hospitals. Wow. around the country. So it's slowly, I think people, patients, but also doctors and the medical profession are slowly beginning to realize that these complementary therapies really work together with traditional medicine, and it's a matter of just taking the both of both, really. Mm. So
fascinating. Yeah. This is very, very interesting. Thank you for telling us more about this. I'm sure that a lot of us here might have discovered a bit more about flower essence and Healing Touch. So wonderful. I'll keep being interested in it now.
Great. Lovely.
So tell us more about your story and how you got to become an expat partner.
Well, my story, I guess everything began at the age of, I'm from Madrid originally, you know, a Spanish family, all my family is in Spain. So at the age of 14, I took French at school, and the teacher organized an exchange with some French students. So I think I was probably the first one to sign up for that trip. I was so excited to go abroad. I had never been abroad before. Mm-hmm. So I went to France just for a week, 10 days, to a small village near Lyon, and I just loved it. You know, I fell in love with France, with French, with anything French, you know, a different culture. For me, was a complete wide opening experience. So I think I got the itch for traveling at that point. So from that year, every year I did this exchange. And then when I finished university, I moved to Italy for a year. Okay. And that was an amazing experience too. And sort of I knew that I was going to live abroad and I wanted to live abroad. So I met my partner in 1996, who is now my husband. We met in France, and I moved to the UK. That's where he lived at the time. And I guess all the rest is history, as they say. So I was in Spain working as a translator and interpreter. And then when I moved to the UK in 1998, I carried on there. I didn't work as an interpreter in translation as much, because my I used to do French, Italian, and Spanish. Mm-hmm. My English wasn't very good when I moved to the UK, so my language combination didn't work. Mm-hmm. So then I started working for more international companies and things. Until my English was good enough.
Wonderful. And that's where you started getting trained in healing, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, when I was still in Spain, I got to know the flower essences when I was still at university, and I did some training there, like at weekends, and then I got myself, you know, I bought books and I bought the remedies, and I began to use them with friends and family. And then when I moved to the UK, I did my professional training there as a flower essence practitioner, because that's where England was the land where flower essences were born, so to speak. The doctor that developed them in the 1930s was a British Englishman. So that was the right place for me to do my training. So I did my training there, and then also began to do some weekends and in healing. But I only got my certification when I moved to the US in the Healing Touch.
Interesting.
That I did in here, yeah.
Okay. How difficult was it for you to make the move and join your husband to the UK the first time?
It wasn't sort of, actually was more different than I thought it was going to be. I was really excited about it. I was, you know, super ready to move abroad. But I never thought England was going to be as different, so different from Spain in a way. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, I arrived in the summer, so the summer was great. But when the winter arrived, things changed because I don't cope very well with gray days and rain. And, you know, being from Spain and from Madrid, you know, it's quite different. Have cold winters, but we always see the sky a little bit like New York. You know, the blue sky is always there, the lights. And that for me, even if it's cold, if I can see the lights, that makes all the difference. So that wasn't the case in England. You know, we had very hard winters and gray and, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock already dark. So that was, I think that was a little bit challenging. Plus, obviously, the fact that I didn't speak the language at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think not speaking the language is one of the main obstacles for integration.
Of course.
Yeah.
You took the time to master your English. Well,
I did. Yeah, I think that's one of the first things I did. I arrived there and then I signed up for this intensive English lesson because I really wanted to integrate as soon as possible and not to depend, you know, on my husband so much in a way.
Is your husband in British?
Yeah, he's British.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So that move was sort of easy because he was already there. Mm-hmm. So he was supporting me a lot. He was already in his space, in his country. So I had all the support. I suppose when we both moved at the same time, you know, we deal with each other's stress. So I think this one was easier.
Yeah. We will get into it a bit later. But before we get a bit further, now that you're in New York, if you get to a networking party and somebody asks you, what do you do? How would you summarize it in 10 seconds?
10 seconds, I would say I'm a holistic practitioner. I help people deal with stress in my private practice.
Very good. Perfect summary. It's beautiful. And what are your revenue streams? How do you earn income?
Well, I earn my income through my clients, my private clients. I also teach. I teach workshops and classes on healing touch and flower essences. And now I'm developing my own sort of range or flower essence combination to deal with city stress.
Would you say that you took the opportunity once you were in UK and followed your husband to start a new life, or how come you just suddenly decided to make the move, although it started in your head in the 90s?
That's right. Yeah, I think just it's timing, really. The move to New York, as you said, was for me the turning point in my professional career, because we came here because of my husband's work. Fortunately, he could support me, and so I could take the time to do my training. And I think every change brings new opportunities. And for me, my heart had been wanting to do that for a long time. I did it more as a hobby before. But New York is the land of opportunity. So I said, why not? And he was very supportive. So I said, I'm going to do this now. So
this
I did.
Great.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
A little bit, because, you know, I have always had my income, my sort of paycheck at the end of the month, sort of things, and security. So at the beginning, is sort of scared to be self-employed and to say, oh, gosh, I'm going to make enough money and this and that. But when you have the support of something else, it's much easier. If I had been on my own, it would have been much, much trickier.
Yeah. And speaking of support, how do you both in your tandem support each other when you go through these transitions?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We are very different. We are very different, but somehow we sort of complement each other. My husband is someone very, very grounded, very, you know, he's really good at making things happen, always seeing, you know, the positive in things and, you know, very practical. I'm more of a sort of warrior sort of type, you know. I just, every time there's a change, I say, oh my God, you know, how is this going to work out? How are we going to do this? So I love change, but I don't cope that well with change, if that makes sense.
It does. I know exactly what you mean.
So once I'm here, you know, like before New York, I was, oh yeah, let's do it, you know, really excited. Then just before coming, I was panicky, really stressing out, you know, it's impossible, we are not going to manage to get this empty the house, what are we going to do with that? But once I'm here, I'm okay. So it's all about this worried, that being worried about something that may happen, but most of the time doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So do you have examples? Oh, yeah. I mean, things like, for instance, my own practice. Oh, is this going to work? Of course it's working. Or is it, you know, is that, I think, you know, I think we all have the same somehow. And she's sometimes just losing that contact, sort of inner contact with my inner peace sort of things. Most of these worries come when I'm under stress. When I find the time to relax or when I do my meditation, then I realize that all these things are just in my mind, that, you know, that they are probably not going to happen, and it's pointless to worry about them. But sometimes it's difficult to avoid.
Yeah. And how do you in general prepare when you move to a new country?
Well, usually I try to prepare with lots and lots of time, because it always takes longer than you think. Planning ahead. In my case, I take, you know, flower essences, of course, and, you know, meditation, and just do things just to, you know, to just support my mental sort of emotional well-being.
So your most important part of planning is maybe preparing yourself emotionally?
Yeah, I guess so. Preparing myself emotionally, and also preparing things in the place where I'm going. Once I have booked when we moved to New York, we needed to book, obviously, temporary accommodation. So just book somewhere to stay when we arrive, somewhere we like for, you know, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, book the plane tickets, you know, just get all the practicalities done too. That's important, because that sort of released a lot of the stress.
So you were talking about how difficult it was for you in the UK with a change of weather. And is there another moment that you can describe that you considered as your toughest experience living abroad? It's been 17 years now.
It's been 17 years, but I don't think, you know, I don't really recall any traumatic or really tough experience. I think my experience has been wonderful. I mean, when I was in the UK, obviously the weather was tough, but that was nothing compared to the good friends I have there and the life we have there, and the same here in New York. So I think the toughest thing was at the beginning, perhaps not speaking the language, because I felt very limited, and, you know, your self-esteem sort of gets damaged in a way, and you just feel that you want to do more things, but you can't, because, you know, it's just difficult to, I wanted to work, but I wasn't ready to work yet, because I didn't know the language. So you want to express yourself, and sometimes just things don't come across the way you want them to come. So I think that the language was mainly the main barrier, really, than anything else.
Yeah, interesting. You were just saying, you know, how sometimes things come across in a different way than you meant it. And that's, I guess, one of the symptoms of culture shock. Do you have any experience, any story you can tell us of a culture shock you might have had in the past?
In the past? I mean, probably in the UK, in England, you know, as Spaniards, our volume when we speak is sort of quite high. Mm-hmm. So I often notice going into shops and things that people would sort of stand back a little bit. And then I realized that they thought I was probably shouting at them, or I was a little angry. So I learned very quickly to try to speak more softly, and also to say thank you and please very often, you know, before and after every sentence. Because, you know, you just remember one of the first time when we went to a restaurant, we were with a group of friends, and everyone would say, can I have some spaghetti, please? Can I have some meat, please? All this please and thank you. And I think those things are important.
Yeah.
Are important. So that was, one of them. Then another cultural shock was the, in the US, when I sort of got to know the medical system here, the way things work. That was quite different from the sort of social security system and national health system we have in Europe. Everything sort of seemed sort of very complicated in a way.
Mm.
Yeah, and also, you know, in terms of cultural shock and just things that sometimes you say that, you know, that are funny more than anything else. Like, I remember once going to this shop. We were in London for 5 years, and then we moved to the West Country, and we had a fireplace in our house. So I went to this shop to get some fire lighters, you know, those tablets you put in the fire,
yeah,
to get the fire sort of started. And I went to this shop and I asked, do you have any firefighters? And the guy just looked at me and said, oh, what do you mean, madam? And say, oh, and I just didn't get it. I just didn't understand why he was looking at me like that. And then I saw the little box and I said, no, that's what I want. I said, okay, fire lighters, you know. It's only a letter, but that made, you know, a big difference. Yeah,
that's very,
you know,
funny.
Just sort of silly things, but, you know.
Yeah, that's really funny. You do speak much soft and interesting. You did amazing. If this was not your initial nature, I find it amazing. You have a great and soft voice.
Thank you. I mean, not that I was shouting, you know, really loudly, but no, I definitely sort of managed to my voice.
What would be actually your advice to people who go through culture shock and who suddenly, you know, discover a new culture and maybe don't understand what's happening to them? Is there any advice you could share?
Yes, my advice would be to just to mix with the locals.
Mm-hmm.
Would be to, if they don't know the language, just to, you know, sign up for language lessons so they can learn the language. Definitely to get out of the house. Get out of the house, you know, sign up for a yoga class if you like yoga, or a gym, anything, volunteer, to join one of the wonderful expat associations. They are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one at the UN, but there are others like Internations and Eurocircle. Just join association with people who are in the same situation as you. Get support. Some people need the support of a therapist or a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely don't stay in the house.
Yeah.
Go, get out. For me, the language is the key. And sometimes, you know, once you get to know, like for me here in New York, at the beginning I had only friends, sort of foreign friends.
Mm-hmm.
But once I managed to have friends from here, from New York, real American people,
mm-hmm,
then you realize, you begin to see things differently.
Okay.
You begin to understand many things that you don't understand otherwise, because you are in a different frame of mind and in a different culture. So once you get to know the people, the locals, once you get to know why people do things, the reasons behind, then the shock sort of lessens sort of things, because you understand.
Very good point. This is exactly what I would like to highlight from what you said. It's very important to understand the culture in order to go through the culture shock. And this is a great advice that you just gave. And by, I guess, mingling with locals and meeting more people from the culture and probably asking them questions about why you don't understand certain things might help to get over it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and also it helps also, you know, opening your minds and leaving many of your prejudices behind too, because we all have them. And that's, you know, that's normal. We all have our history behind.
Mm-hmm.
But
beautiful.
Always sort of wanted to learn and always being ready to be surprised and seeing things. Even in New York now, I've been here, it's going to be 4 years in January, but every time I go out and I, you know, in Manhattan, and I see some of the amazing architecture and the blue sky, I have so many pictures, and I just keep taking pictures of, you know, the Chrysler Building or, you know, places that people may think I'm a tourist, but it's almost like I'm still a tourist after 4 years of the thing, as I never get tired of discovering new things.
Yeah. There was a very interesting article while you're talking about this, because I like what you just said, in the New York Times, that said that, you know, there was a study made, and they discovered that the more people experience awe, and awe is when you're mesmerized by something, the more the happier they are. And actually, it's not because they live in places where there's a lot of things to be mesmerized about, but because they condition themselves to be open, to be amazed by anything. And there's and I like what you just said. You have a natural way to keep your mind and your eyes and your ears open to enjoy everything you see around you.
Yes.
And it makes people happier.
Yes. Yeah. You make people it's amazing what you said about that article. Yeah, I'm really interested in reading it. So you can send me the details later.
Yeah, I will try to find it and send it to you. It's very interesting. I was very amazed, and I think it does help, you know. It comes with the gratitude also. We talk a lot in the show about the importance of being to have a compare things and put them into perspectives, and also be happy about what we have instead of always wishing for more and enjoying every moment. And I guess being open, with open eyes and ears, and seeing everything in a positive way around us, like beautiful buildings, beautiful nature,
beautiful people, absolutely.
So it does make happier. So that's great. It's good to know it, so we can proactively do it.
And also meet people are amazing. People are amazing anywhere.
It's true.
And that's, I just love people, really. I really love people. And here in New York, just the mixture of things, the things you see. I mean, you could be anyone. You could be whoever you want. It's just such a freedom in a way, you know, and you just see you just get to know amazing people out there. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. And so what is the biggest change you had to manage in your life abroad? And how did you manage it?
Yeah, the biggest change, I guess one of the biggest ones was being away from my family, family and friends. I'm one of eight brothers and sisters, so I have a very big family in Spain, and my parents are there, my brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces. So when I was in England, I obviously, because it was closer, I used to go and see them more often. But here in New York, it's a little bit more difficult, so I usually go like twice a year. So that's a little bit of a challenge, but there is always Skype and WhatsApp and, Facebook. So Skype in particular, it helps me a lot, because especially with my parents, I speak to them every week. So, I think their love, I miss them. I miss them.
Yeah,
but it's okay. You know, I sort of, I'm happy here. So it's a mixture of feelings. I know my life is here now, and that's fine, but if they were a little bit closer, that would be great.
And like you said, there is technology. It's amazing that nowadays we can talk to our families in such an easy way. And look at us, we're having this conversation through Skype, and it's like we were sitting together.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
it's amazing. So can you share, you were talking about some of your habits previously. Can you share one personal habit that you have and that contributes to your success and happiness?
Routines, so I do, meditation is one of my pillars, sort of things. I started meditating many years ago, and this is now part of my daily practice. It keeps me sort of grounded and sort of helps me put things into perspective. So I do meditation. I also do regular, self-care practice to prepare for my healing, for my clients.
What is that? Self-care practice?
Self-care, yeah. That includes the meditation, but also includes some healing touch techniques that I apply to myself in order to, have my energy, good energy levels. Mm-hmm. I try to eat healthily. I think that's very important. And also I obviously I try to get out of the city.
Nice.
Often, take the train, and here in New York, it's very easy to just leave the city behind. You just get on the train and Grand Central and go somewhere in the Hudson Valley or something, and just to spend the day out and that, just to sort of rejuvenate myself and to get a little bit of fresh air.
Yeah.
And in particular here in New York, in a big city like this one, I think it's important for us to do that self-care I was talking about. I mentioned yoga earlier too. So to do those things that make us relax and sort of switch off from the daily stresses. Mm-hmm. Take you know, every day, just take some time for sort of book some me time, even if it is like 10 or 15 minutes a day, where you can sit quietly and just, you know, even if you just breathe deeply or something, but, you know, like a time for you sort of thing.
What would be your biggest advice for our listeners to make the best out of their experience abroad?
Just enjoy it, you know, really enjoy, make the most of it. Get help if you need. If you need to get help, if you are feeling under a lot of stress, if you are feeling, you know, insecure, get professional help of a therapist or a coach, as I said, you know, someone to help you through. Because some people, you know, some people deal well with change, but not everyone deals well with it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, keep positive and also, but also take your time to adapt and adjust. Because I think many of us are very ambitious. We just want to move from one country to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Some people even with families and kids. And we just want to be doing exactly what we were doing when in the country we left in, you know, in the next 3 weeks or something. And that's completely, that's impossible. So the body and the minds and everything needs, you know, we need a few months to really arrive in the country we are in. So I think patient, being very patient is important, and also very, you know, a lot of loving care sort of thing, just being very, take a good care of ourselves and just, you know, accept our limitations and timing of things.
Yeah, these are great advice, Flor. Thank you so
much.
Thank you. And I'd like to insist, we've been talking a lot also in Tandem Nomads about the importance of getting help. And you've been listing some of those ways. You know, the first one, to get a counselor if the stress level is too high and you feel like you don't cope either with your stress and tension happening through the relocation. There's also coaching. And now we discovered a new way through flower essence and healing touch. So maybe it's good to explore all the different options that exist where you live and what could help you best. I think this is very important to not, you know, stay stuck alone in our issues when it becomes too difficult. I love that you focused on that.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and I also like that you said, you know, you can't do the same things in the old country where you were and duplicate it in the new country. That's very important what you said, because we have a tendency as humans, and this is why I talk a lot about habits in the show, because I want to show that sometimes we have habits that we can keep with us in relocation and that help us through transition. And there are others that we can't, because we can't do everything that we did in different environments the same way. And there's actually in episode 4, I talk about this, the importance, you know, of building new habits and not trying to do exactly what we did before in the new country.
So
I really like that you focused on that. So thank you very much. That was really great advice, Flor.
Thank you.
And so we're now reaching the end of this interview. And but before, I would like us to go through this spinning round. Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
So what are your plans for the coming 2 years?
My plans for the coming 2 years are, you know, keep expanding my practice, my healing practice, keep growing, keep bringing more sort of healing to this city and teaching and, expansion.
Wonderful. Do you have an internet resource like Skype that you find useful in your nomadic life?
Yeah, I use Skype a lot, and I use obviously Facebook, and also I use WhatsApp too.
WhatsApp,
I have
and Facebook.
A family, sort of a family, all these different groups, WhatsApp groups, and I think that's you always feel in company sort of thing with WhatsApp. You know, you don't. I sort of prefer it to Facebook sometimes because it's more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we are saying, we have just with one with my sisters, for instance. So it's just really good. Every day we just share a little thing, and yeah, you know, it just makes you feel, it makes you feel closer. Yeah.
And what book would you recommend to Tandem Nomads?
There is one by Tara Brach, which is called Radical Acceptance. And that's, it's about accepting yourself and the way you are and the feelings you go through. So that one was, is a book I loved. And there's another one by Pema Chodron called When Things Fall Apart, mm-hmm. which is some sort of heart advice for difficult times. So that's a good one too.
Fantastic. So Radical Acceptance from Tara.
Tara Brach, that's Brach. Okay. And the other one is When Things Fall Apart.
Very good. From Pema Chodron.
Pema Chodron, that's Chodron. So they are sort of Buddhist, in different traditions, but Buddhist.
Great.
Very wise women. So if anyone is interested in sort of Buddhism, meditation, these are two good books.
Great. Yeah. So Nomad Nation, I will put these two books in the show note page of this episode. If Nomad Nation wants to reach you, Flor, how can they find you?
Yeah, they can. I have a website, which is flortaboada.com. Mm-hmm. It's my name.com. And then I have a Facebook page too, which is Flor Taboada Healing Touch and Flower Essences. So if you want to just check my Facebook page or website, that would be great. And then obviously all my phone details and email address and everything is in there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Flor, for sharing your story and your great experience and how you turned the challenges of relocation into great opportunities for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amel. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Nomad Nation, don't miss any of the great inspiration, tips, and insights that will prepare just for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter.